This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Have Arsenal agreed their first deal of the summer? Well, a player's father seems to claim that we have. Gabriel Jesus could yet still leave, of course. We've talked about that before. We've got more to discuss today. And Unai Emery does an Unai Emery. This is the Arsenal News Show. Hello and welcome to the Gooda Talk, back with you guys for another episode of what is another episode of our Arsenal News Show. Joining you every single morning at 8 a.m. UK time. Thank you for joining me as always and making this a part of your morning routines. It's incredibly appreciated. I hope you had a fantastic week. It's Friday, which means the weekend is here and you've got one more day of work. For some of you, maybe. Others may have already started their weekend enjoyment. I certainly have. Got a day off today. It's beautiful. It's lovely. But very busy. Got loads of work to do. And I've got studying to do. I'm currently doing a senior journalism qualification and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of studying. It's a lot of looking at law. It's a lot of looking at trying to learn how to do certain things and know certain things and be ready for certain things. It's very complicated. But I'm going to spend a lot of my day off doing something I've not done since I was about, 21, revising for an exam. Plenty of that to do today. But good morning to those joining us live in the chat box. Thank you so much for doing so. To Barney, Damien, Glenn, Blackshine, Darren, Matt G, Red Star, Barry, Angela, Robert, Lorenzo, Rowan Lee, Angela, Paul, Rob, Martin, James, Pat, Dylan, NSW, Mr. Ree, Stevie and Colin. Thank you so much to you guys and girls. As always, for tuning in, it's incredibly appreciated. And if you could all drop a like on the video and subscribe to the channel if you're new around here so you can turn those notifications on and you'll know, hopefully at least, never miss a show. There should be another show for you this evening, a preview show looking ahead to tomorrow's game against Bournemouth in the Premier League. Arsenal, of course, will take on who are one of the more formed sides in the league. Mikel Arteta's press conference is later on this afternoon. We'll hear some more about the latest team news. Jurrien Timber, of course, could make his comeback to the squad. Finally, in May, so far after some people's suggestions of January, it's absolutely fantastic to see him back, though. And hopefully we can get him back in the squad. Right, let's go to today's stories, shall we? I think that we should. Let's go into yesterday's Premier League results. Tottenham Hotspur's Premier League hopes of finishing in the top four are all but dead, done, over. Which I know for Arsenal fans out there will be thinking, well, we did kind of want them to have something to fight for. I really think that ultimately we were just putting the wool over our eyes, our own eyes with this, because if we're being very honest, they can't beat Chelsea. any expectation we had that they might be able to do something against Manchester City should have been flying out the window ages ago. Their own fans want them to lose. It would be the most Spursy thing in the world to have nothing to play for and still manage to get a result against City. Of course it would. It would be the most hilarious thing ever. But if we had any semblance of hope, I think I was on with Laura and FK on Latte Firm the other day. I think Laura was was rather optimistic, hoping that some Spurs might do something. They can't beat Chelsea. They have absolutely no hope. I'm looking at Fulham. I'm looking at Wolves. I'm looking at West Ham. These are the teams that I'm looking at, hoping that they can do something against Manchester City. And to be fair to Michael Antonio, West Ham striker, he has come out recently in an interview ahead of their Europa League game, which took place, of course. Ahead of, I think, one of their previous Europa League games. I think actually it was just in an interview this week, has said about the title race. He says, if it goes down to the last day, I reckon Arsenal wins it. Last game of the season, we have something to play for as well. We're trying to get into Europe and we've got Manchester City away. Now, West Ham currently in the table are ninth. They are 2 points behind Chelsea. They're 4 points behind Newcastle United, who have got a game in hand over West Ham. West Ham's next fixture is Chelsea. They play Chelsea away from home, which you'd think that they absolutely would need to win. After they play Chelsea, just having a quick look at their fixtures, they've got Luton at home and then Manchester City away. I don't think West Ham are going to have anything to play for on the last day, to be honest. I really don't see it. I could be wrong. They could prove me wrong, but I can't see it. I just don't think they're going to have anything to play for. But West Ham have got one of the better records against top six teams this season, so we can take some hope, some encouragement and some optimism in that sense. But maybe David Moyes will want to do his old mate Mikel Arteta a favour. We can always keep our spirits high in that regard. In terms of European football, though, Unai Emery. Aston Villa last night losing 4-2 to Olympiacos, which, if they do get knocked out to Olympiacos, which would be rather amusing. I tell you what, Mikel Arteta's critics, who have really battered him for going out to Olympiacos during his first European campaign, if Unai Emery can't win the UEFA Conference League and gets knocked out of it by Olympiacos, it's going to be very, very embarrassing for those fans who will laugh at Arteta for getting knocked out by Olympiacos. So I'm really kind of hoping it happens. Let's get behind Olympiacos in the second leg in Greece, which is going to be a hell of an atmosphere when Villa go out there. But losing 4-2 on the day, and Unai Emery's hopes of a European trophy for his side in very much a doubtful situation. That said, they did, of course, go into their game against Lille, I think, with something of a disadvantage and came through on penalties in the end. So there's lots to play for, I think. And Villa still have got the quality to progress. And it would be a massive upset if they still go out, I think, even despite being 4-2 down going into the next leg. But not looking good at the moment for Aston Villa and Unai Emery. Into transfers and suggestions surrounding Gabriel Jesus and his potential future. Jorge Nicola, Brazilian journalist, has suggested that these reports that Arsenal are indeed keen on potentially moving on Gabriel Jesus are accurate and that there is weight behind them. They said that he's obviously the guy that broke the news about Arsenal signing Jesus from Man City. He's aware that the situation is that Arsenal are open to selling him and that Jesus is aware of that situation as well. So it's a story that we'll keep you up to date with and following across the summer. If we lose Jesus and Nketiah, Arsenal have to get at least two forwards through the door in the summer. It'd be an absolute nightmare if I think we didn't. I think it would leave us very, very short if we were to lose Nketiah and Jesus in the same summer. So surely two forwards, you'd think, would then come through the door. Now, the final story to discuss is a little bit of an interesting one. Ferdi Kadıoğlu. I don't think you pronounced the G. Our Turkish listeners might be able to give me a better pronunciation, but Ferdi Kadıoğlu, who has been linked with Arsenal before. He was actually linked with Arsenal in January of this year, back in the January transfer window. We did a couple of shows actually talking about him back then. But reports from Turkey have suggested that Arsenal are on the verge of signing the player. His father, Feyzullah Kadıoğlu, has conducted an interview in which he revealed that there is an agreement over personal terms between his son and Arsenal. And supposedly his £40,000 per week contract in Turkey is at the potential of being doubled. But beyond that, there's not been too much noise. It's a story that needs to be looked into a little bit more. Transfer figures are said to be between 20 and 30 million pounds. He's a very talented player. He's 24 years of age, so he's not a youngster by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a very versatile player. He can play either fullback position, he can play into midfield. And this season for Fenerbahce, playing the majority of his games, I believe, in one of those two fullback positions, mainly on the left-hand side, he's got 3 goals and 5 assists as well across 47 games. But he's a very versatile player, can play in midfield. I think he's even played in wide forward positions, actually, in his younger years as well. Clearly a player that Arteta stylistically would like, because he loves those types of versatile options, those midfielders that can effectively be fullbacks. And if we are going to be moving on Alexander Zinchenko, of course, it does seem that the style of fullback to play an inverted role like Kadiolu potentially could be seems to fit that profile. He's right-footed as well, playing on that left-hand side. We've got Jiri and Timber coming back. We could have some really good depth in those fullback areas to allow a rotation of Ben White. Of course, we've still got Kivior and Tomiyasu at the club for the long-term future as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of positivity around the defensive signings that we might make this summer. But these links to Kadiolu are very interesting. But we're still waiting on some greater kind of, what's the word, cross-referencing of these links. I've certainly not heard anything about this one yet, but that's not to suggest it's not true. And it's quite a powerful thing to suggest that Arsenal got an agreement, but his father seems to think that they do, on personal terms at least. A deal between the clubs would still need to be made, but one to follow going into those summer months. Right, let's go to part two then and your questions right after this.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, part two and your questions and thoughts in the chat box. Let's jump straight into it and go to Alison, who says, Spurs fans want them to lose against City. What a joke club and weak mentality. I'm glad that they lost last night. Spursy always. It is the most Spursy thing that they would put themselves into a position whereby their only reason to even pay attention to the rest of their season is to hope that they don't beat Manchester City in one of their remaining games. I'm just so happy to be an Arsenal fan in this situation and not one of them. Jason says, we should hope Villa get through and struggle in the league so Spurs have incentive to keep competing. Jason, I think that's a very big reach. I mean, Spurs are now, what, 7 points behind? I think 7 points behind Villa, and they've got 3 games to go. I don't see it happening. Spurs have got to play Liverpool still this weekend, who are going to lose. I mean, that said, Liverpool have been pretty poor as well. But I'll tell you what, Liverpool need to start looking behind them, because if Liverpool have a really bad end to the season, they could end up finishing fourth, which would be very amusing indeed. But no, I don't think we need to be thinking about where they're going to fall further behind from fifth place. Jabu says, what are the chances that we do business with Leverkusen? I rate them quite highly and they will need a bigger squad and we have a relationship with them. I'm not sure. It depends. Outgoings, incomings. Would they want a player like Zinchenko? I don't think so. Would they want a player like Jesus? I don't know. But there's a potential for business in either direction. You know, we've got that relationship from the Xhaka deal, of course, but I'm not sure if there's anybody in either direction that would fit. Jeremy Frimpong, Grimaldo, very highly rated wingbacks. We don't really play that type of system. Patrick Schick is a player that I like. Victor Boniface is another player that has been linked with Arsenal before. I'm not sure they're going to want to lose any of their key players as they keep Xabi Alonso for another season and embark upon a Champions League campaign as well. Lee says, Tom, how far have we come since you could see no future for Arteta after that Europa League fixture against Villarreal? Well done for keeping the faith. Indeed. You know, it's a long, long way, Lee, since that point. That was always that crux position for me, was when we got eliminated by Vieira in the Europa League. And I kept faith a lot longer than a lot of other people. It was a really hard season that year. You know, I kept faith during those times where we were like bottom half of the table. I was thinking, like, just keep this faith in him moving forwards and it's going to come good. But then after that elimination to Vieira, I just didn't see a way forwards. But thank goodness the club did, you know, and you just got to be very thankful, Lee, that they did. Matt G says, Tom, I've got an idea for your 1000th 8am morning show. How about you do a live morning show on YouTube, maybe 8am-ish, where you share Arsenal news and take questions from the chat box? You know what, Matt? That's an excellent idea. I think I'm going to make good on both of those requests. Groundbreaking. Absolutely groundbreaking, that suggestion, Matt. I love it. The process is, am I an idiot for thinking that Arsenal are perfectly set up to dominate the most of the next decade and will probably win the Champions League in the next two seasons? I mean, no, you're not an idiot for thinking that. Arsenal are well-placed to do, well, both of those things. Liverpool, of course, leaving their coach, but we don't know how Arne Slot's going to get on. Manchester City, we don't know what's going to happen to them in the next year to 18 months. Pep Guardiola could be leaving. Arsenal look like the most stable and ready competitor for the next few seasons. And there's definitely a feel of motivation. I think Gabriel Jesus was speaking in an interview this week saying, you know, we're going to try and win the league this season. If we don't win the league, though, we're going to go for it again next season. And that's the mentality of this team. They want to win. They want to compete. They want to fight for the title every single season that they get the opportunity. And so that is what they are going to be hoping for. Joe says, full team fit for tomorrow's game, Tom? It does seem there's potential that it could be. Jurrien Timber could be back in the squads, and therefore we have no injuries for what is the first time in, well, since the first game of the season, believe it or not. So, yeah, it very much could be that's the case. Rob says, if we get decent money for Jesus and Partey and Zinny when they're injured often, I say take it. I'm sick of us being hamstrung, pun intended, and Smith Rowe, Eddie, Nelson, Tierney and the rest of the loanies, we can upgrade. Yeah, there's definitely scope for Arsenal to make a lot of money in sales this summer. That is definitely for sure. Praktika says, as a global Arsenal fan, I know why I support this club. I wonder, though, how someone who isn't from the Spurs part of North London would support that club. Why voluntarily pick Spursiness? Well, of course, Spurs have got a very big fan base, actually, globally as well. There's a lot of Spurs supporters in America. Of course, South Korean supporters have got a big, big link there with Heung-min Son, and the Spurs are definitely the biggest club in South Korea as a result of that. I see where you're coming from, but you know, just some people get that attachment to the club and have their reasons. I don't necessarily agree. I say agree, there's already very good reasons why they support them, but I just, yeah, it's baffling. Fuad says, how much would you want for Jesus, Tom, and who comes out of the matchday squad when Timber comes back? I think I'd want at least £40 million for Gabriel Jesus. I think we paid 45. He's been here for 2 years. He's 27 years of age. He's still under a decent length of contract, 2, maybe 3 years left on that deal. So, yeah, I think I'd want at least £40 million, to be honest, for Gabriel Jesus. Chris says, hi, Tom. Do you have any thoughts on Jens Lehmann buying the rights to the Invincibles, or did I miss that? Do I have any thoughts? It's an interesting bit of news. It doesn't really affect us too much in any way. But Arsenal did have the rights because I've got a hoodie with the Invincible thing on the back. So there'll be no Invincibles merch, I guess, coming from the club. And I don't really know how the deal works, to be honest. But I don't really have any thoughts on it. It doesn't really affect us in you know, too much, I guess. Naki says, I don't think we would sign more than 4 players next season. I think there's scope that we could sign more than 4. We could sign 5. I don't think it'll be more than 5. But there is definitely a possibility that we could sign more than 4 players. It's one to watch. This summer's going to be exciting. Jabu says, how do we prevent last season's Arsenal versus Bournemouth game? Don't concede inside the first minute, Jabu. That's probably the starting point, isn't it? Just don't concede in the first second. Guy says, Tom, how did you become an Arsenal fan? Is it family? Yep, family links. My granddad, who sadly passed away before I was born, was made known to be my nan that he was an Arsenal fan. So I took it from there. And then just carried it on. HFN says, with Arteta, you could always see defensive structures and the build-up of ideas. However, robotic and badly executed it was at the time. Even today, our build-up play can still improve. We need to bring in Schlotterbeck, a name I've not necessarily seen talked about at all. Borussia Dortmund, I believe, is it? Defender can play, I think, a fullback as well as centre-half on the left-hand side. So not really heard his name brought up too much. How old is he? He's 24. And is he one that could be that centre-half left-back option for us? I think the Kadiolu seems more likely from what we're hearing, at least, anyway. Chris says, hi, Tom. Can we get 40 million for Tavares as well? Oh, we're bringing back this one ahead of the summer. We'll be lucky to get him on a free. We're lucky that we won't have to pay someone to take Tavares at this stage. MA says, if we only allowed to make one signing this summer, what position would it be and who would it be? I think I'd bring in a midfielder. I think I'd bring in a really good box-to-box player. If you could only bring in one, I suppose that gives you license to spend a hell of a lot of money on a midfielder as well. Who would it be, though? Because I'm trying to think of, like, top. I mean, I'd go to Real Madrid and say he's 100 million for Fede Valverde or Eduardo Camavinga. Looking at one of those two potentially as players that could be brought into play in our midfield. I know a lot of people go to De Jong. I'm not as keen on De Jong as others are. His injury record's not very good at all. And I don't necessarily think we've seen the best of De Jong in the last couple of seasons. Well, I think it'd be something of a risk. So if you were telling me if I could only sign one, I'm not sure I'd risk it on Frenkie de Jong. Anyone else that I like a lot? Midfielders. Barella as a mid box-to-box, maybe, from Inter. Could you convince him to leave Inter Milan to play with that midfield of Barella, Odegaard and Rice would be something quite special, I think, as well. Musiala says, Darren, that's not a bad shout at all. Kudus is another good shout. Can play in midfield, but more so of a winger. You'd be tempted to go and get Isak, wouldn't it, or Bruno Guimaraes as well. Florian Wirtz says on the volley, yeah, I mean, I don't think he's leaving Bayer Leverkusen this summer. They have no interest in letting him leave, but if you decide one player, it's so hard, isn't it, as well. Lee says, Tom, I've just been on Amazon and to purchase some headphones on the off chance that we win the league and you have to sing. Why haven't you got headphones anyway, Lee? I feel like headphones is like a staple of any podcast listener. Martin says, surely if we sell Ramsdale, Nketiah, Nelson, Smith Rowe, and Elneny and Cedric Lee, surely we have to replace them, otherwise we're down numerically. Yeah, absolutely, we do. We would need to go into the market and add significant depth. I think 4 to 5 signings is, if you were to sell those, as you mentioned, and also Jesus leaves or Partey leaves as well, add Zinchenko to that as well, then definitely we'd need to go into the market and add a significant number of players. Ashwell says we should loan Smith Rowe as a potential option. I think his contract, a quick check on Smith Rowe's contract situation. He signed a new deal in, was it 2020? I want to say it was 2021. I think it was. His deal expires in 26. If he was to loan this season, he would have 1 year when he returns in 2025. Difficult. Darren says we should promote the youth. Absolutely, we should be looking to promote some youth players. I mean, if you were to move on, say, a Vieira or a Smith Rowe, I'd definitely be wanting Ethan Oneri to take up more of a spot in the squad and start to get some more minutes as well. I think that's definitely a really important thing that we do next season. Miles Lewis-Skelly, another player that should definitely be getting some opportunities in the senior squad also. Sam says, hey, Tom, it seems like we're trying to move out academy products, homegrown, but all discussions of potential incomings, they seem to be non-homegrown. Does that add up? Yes, it does, because we're not really in any issues with homegrown and non-homegrown. It's worth pointing out there is no homegrown quota. I always like making this point. There is a non-homegrown quota. You must have no more than 17 non-homegrown players in your squad. And at this point in time, Arsenal aren't necessarily going to be breaching that at the moment in terms of how many non-homegrown players we've got. Well, we've got Raya Raya is a homegrown player as well, so I think Raya certainly count. I'm just having a quick check on that. I'm pretty sure David Raya is homegrown. Yes, he is. David Raya is a homegrown player. You've got William Saliba is an interesting one. I think he counts as homegrown in the Premier League, but then doesn't count as homegrown in European competitions. It's very strange, some of these rulings. So Gabriel is definitely non-homegrown, Timber non-homegrown, Kivior non-homegrown, Tomiyasu non-homegrown, Zinchenko non-homegrown, that's 5, Partey 6, Odegaard 7, Vieira 8, Jorginho 9, Havertz 10, Jesus 11, Martinelli 12, Trossard 13, And then returning from loan, you've got Lokonga, Tavares and Tierney, who would add up to three. So at the moment, that's 16 with those three who would expect to leave. So we're nowhere near that 17 in terms of the non-homegrown side of things. So we don't need Sam to worry about that at the moment. And we're in a very good position in that sense. And there's arguments that Martinelli and Saliba should also count as homegrown as well. But there are different rules in Europe compared to the Premier League. So it does get a little bit fuzzy. Guy says, what's Sambi's contract situation? Has he done enough to have another season with us? Well, he signed in 2021. I think it was a four-year deal. So I think he should have two more seasons left on his contract. Let me have a quick check. Yes, indeed, he does. He has 2 years left on his deal. He will return to Arsenal in the summer from that loan from Luton. I don't know what is going to happen with him. Very, very intrigued to see if he gets any opportunities in pre-season or if he's kind of like sought after a decent season with Luton. But he has had significant injuries. Only been able to play 14 Premier League games this season. He did start the last two matches for Luton in their defeats against Wolves and Brentford. But their next game is against Everton tonight, actually. So it'll be interesting to see if Lokonga plays. But he's back in the squad for Luton and at a very timely period because they've needed significant players back. They've had such awful injury problems as well. Tide says, hi, Tom. How big is the pressure on Jonas to succeed next year in the women's team? And are there any transfer rumours for the team? Also, I have to say, I'm glad Emma Hayes is leaving with nothing after her outburst. I can't say I'm not disappointed that Chelsea are winning nothing this season. I think it's great that they're winning nothing. The behaviour, shoving Jonas Eidevall, not great. And I just think that we're in a situation now where Arsenal can look to do well. Manchester City are a force and will win the WSL, it seems, this season as well. So they're going to be up there next season again. Arsenal will have big expectations. Arsenal will be looking to spend money in the summer. And obviously they're another year older. They've got a lot of young players, of course. They've made some very good signings like Russo, like Fox coming into the squad. So hopefully Arsenal can be successful as Chelsea go through something of a transition period with Emma Hayes leaving, of course, for the American national side, I think. Jabu says, which three players are you picking from the relegated sides this season? I mean, Sheffield United. I mean, who are you picking from Sheffield United? Still, I mean, Hamer's probably been their best player. Try to think of anybody else. But I don't think I'm picking anyone from them. Burnley as well. They haven't impressed me at all. Luton, again, I've liked Barkley and what he's done. Ogbeni's been decent. Adarabio is at a good seat. Adarabio is the Fulham centre back. Adarabio, the centre forward, has been pretty good for them. But no one's really shouting out. There were seasons gone by where we were looking at relegated teams like, yeah, we'd take a couple of their players. But yeah, it doesn't look to be that is going to be the case this time around. Lee says, did we miss a trick not getting Cole Palmer? I mean, you could argue that, but would he have played as much at Arsenal as he has at Chelsea? We've got Saka, he wouldn't have been playing on the right as much. You could say he might have played in midfield, but yeah, I don't think so. So I don't think we missed a trick not buying Cole Palmer. I think Man City missed a trick not deciding to keep him is more so the trick that was missed as well. Richmond says, hi, Tom. Do you think we should sell Partey? I think his injury issues are over. I don't think they're over, Richmond. You can never say they're over. You never know what's going to happen. But in terms of should we sell Partey, it depends very much on the offers that we get in the summer. And it also depends very much upon what options are available for Arsenal in the summer as well. Hashtag Danny says, if Ben White is going to be noticed by the referees and leads to stop the play in future, the ref having a word, etc., that'll solidify the Arsenal agenda. Ben White isn't the first player nor the last one, but why is there such a media focus? Because it's Arsenal, Danny. It's simple as that. It's because it's Arsenal. Arsenal get more attention, more focus, more hype than any other team in the league. And we just have to deal with that. I am interested to see if there's any shenanigans by Ben White in the box this week and if the referees are going to crack down on it a lot more because obviously the league are trying to bring more attention to it. So let's see if it happens. I look forward to seeing what happens at the corners against Bournemouth this weekend. But yeah, it should be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. If you haven't dropped a like on the video, by the way, please make sure you do. We try and reach 1,000 likes on the show every single morning, and we're hugely appreciative to everybody that does do so, which is around 10% of people that watch. So make sure you are dropping a like on the video. And 90%, where you at? Help us out. Drop a like. If you're listening on Catch Up, thank you for your listenership as well. Do make sure you hop over from your audio platforms to support the courts and drop a like on the video as well. And if you see that it's already on 1,000 likes, it doesn't mean we stop there. We keep going. We keep trying to get... Once we got 2,000 likes on a video, and it was crazy. So I hope that you'll join me throughout the summer as the season comes to a conclusion. As, of course, we'll be going through all of the transfer stories every single morning, rounding you up on everything that you need to know every single day. But this is going to be the end of this morning's show. I've got a busy day off ahead of me. Going to get my hair cut. Going to go to the gym. Going to do some revision. Going to do a preview show this evening, 5 o'clock UK time. Make sure you look out for that. And then I'm going to enjoy my evening after that. So have a fantastic day. Stay safe. Stay well. Stay happy and respectful. Enjoy your Fridays. And let's keep those fingers crossed. We've got a very enjoyable weekend coming ahead of us. See you soon. Stay well. And as always, up the Arsenal. It's the 90 plus minute. All your mates around, and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go, and you know a late winner's coming. Your mate's already got booked for a double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.